From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
A few weeks ago, no, earlier this month, a few weeks ago, an entrepreneur named, I'll just start it a different way, kept stumbling. So this is the 150th episode of Problem Solvers, which is just absolutely crazy to me to think that I have done this 150 times. It is actually 151 times because we ran a bonus episode that wasn't technically numbered. So, however you want to count it, 150, 151. I'm going with 150 plus a bonus. So here's the thing. Back at our 100th episode, you might recall if you've been a longtime listener to the show, I pulled back the curtain and spent it talking in a very unedited way, which is different for this show where I'm usually editing. I talked about how I make the show and how to make podcasts, and I got a lot of really great feedback on that. And so as 150 was approaching, I thought, wouldn't it be fun to pull back the curtain a little bit more on process? Because I know that a lot of you, if you're not making podcasts per se, you are communicating in some way with an audience on social media, through blog posts, through email newsletters, whatever the case is. To be an entrepreneur is to also be a communicator. And so I thought, well, let me continue to share how it is that I'm doing that and offer some lessons, whether you're making a show or making something else. The prompt here came from an entrepreneur named Monica Kang. She'd emailed me a few weeks ago this. She wrote, quote, "Do you have any strategy in how you dedicate your writing and editing time? For me, writing takes a long time. I love it, but I want to figure out how to be more consistent. So I would love to hear how you do it, even in the midst of this change," end quote. And that was a great question. I really appreciated it. Thanks, Monica. And I shared a short version of my answer. I emailed her, and then now I'm just stumbling. I feel like I need another one of those noises. You know where I got that, by the way? Just while I'm revealing everything, freesound.org. Freesound.org is where I go to get basically every sound effect because it is free, as the name says, and super easy to search. I just went to Freesound. I typed in wrong because what had happened was that I started recording this like five times and then did that thing that I always do, which I like stammer and then I delete and then I try again and I delete. And then I say, you know what? Let me just keep it all and I'll find some fun sound effect. Anyway, it's Monica's question about writing and editing. So here's the thing. I think that people think of writing in the wrong way. I really do. I think that most people think of writing as this creative process and you have to be inspired and you have to catch some fairy dust in the air or something and people sit around and stare at the page and they'll wait for inspiration. And that is just, that is certainly not what I do. It has never been what I do. So I would like to share with you the way that I have turned writing into a real process. I mean, I think of writing like I am on an assembly line. To me, there is just nothing creative about, there's nothing creative about any of this stuff. It is all about assembly and understanding audience and just getting down and doing the work. And I would like to inspire and help you to go and do that yourself, no matter the medium, no matter who it is that you're communicating with, no matter if you're a professional communicator or if you're an entrepreneur who just needs to communicate, whatever it is, let's get into it. I want to share my three big tips for writing and editing and juggling it all with limited amount of time. And then at the end of this episode, if you happen to be a podcaster, then I want to tell you about how to podcast remotely. Episode 100 dove into how I make this show and some podcasting tips that I had, but that was made in a different world where you could get together with people in a studio or at least be in an office where there's a bunch of equipment around. Now, if we're doing this from our homes, and I am currently doing this from my parents' bedroom, then there are some new things that I want to share with you, some quick and simple tips. And as I speak this, literally as I speak these words, what I am doing is I am staring at a pillow. And that is a little teaser for some of those tips, because that pillow is not there by accident. There's a reason for the pillow. There's a reason for it all. There's a reason for writing the way that I do. And we are going to get into it. So without, I stumbled, so we'll give me one more of those noises. Today on Problem Solvers, no interviews, no telling anybody else's story. It is just me telling you about writing. And when I screw up, you know what'll happen. But first, let's take a break. Problem Solvers is brought to you by JustWorks. JustWorks is here to support the small business superheroes working hard to protect their companies and take care of their teams. With simple software and expert support for payroll, benefits, compliance, and HR, JustWorks takes some of the guesswork out of running a business in good times and bad. They know that small business leaders wear many hats, and they're here to help you do it all. With JustWorks, you get seamless tools for managing remote teams and navigating new legislation. This includes scheduling, tracking, and staying compliant with new leave requirements from day one. JustWorks' dedicated team of certified HR consultants can help you navigate the ins and outs of managing remote teams in these challenging times. And should you or your team ever have any questions about your benefits or payroll, you can just call JustWorks anytime. Really, anytime. 11 p.m. on a Sunday? Round-the-clock support is standing by. JustWorks is here for those who do it all. Learn more at justworks.com/problem solvers. Again, that is justworks.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. So like I said, we're going to go through three big tips that I have for writing and editing and juggling it all. And then after that, we'll get into some of the podcast stuff and explain why I am talking to a pillow. So all right, here's tip number one for you. It's to write when you're not writing. Like, you can't sit down and think, this is going to be when the magic happens. Like, you just sit down and you try to summon it. It doesn't always work like that, especially if these are complicated things that you're trying to write. If you're trying to balance a lot of different ideas and make them work together, I find that sitting down and just trying to write is good and helpful, and you should do it, but you shouldn't expect it to come out perfectly, and you shouldn't really even expect to finish it all in one shot. Instead, maybe get some ideas out on the draft, however it is that you work. I always type. I cannot do it longhand, but however it is that you do it, spend some time getting your thoughts in order, get some of these ideas down, and then step away. And instead, write when you're not writing. Try to find connections as you experience the world. The cliche thing would be like, you know, you're in the shower and, you know, inspiration strikes while you're in the shower. But I have found that just keeping things in the back of my head, just keeping projects kind of marinating in the back of my head, I will come up with connections when my brain is on to other things where I don't know. It's almost like when your brain is holding onto something too tightly, you can't finesse it. But then if you just let your mind wander a little bit, if you go and do something else, if you're taking a walk, if you're talking to somebody, if you're reading something, in the back of your head, these ideas aren't going away and they start to almost snap together. You know, it's funny. I was editing a story recently that we ran in the magazine about the chief marketing officer of Burger King, who has, you know, just been a total genius the way that he has revived that brand. And he said that he does a very similar thing. If he can't crack the problem, then he just kind of lets it stew and he goes on and he does other things. And when I do that, by the way, lots of random half-baked ideas, sentences, phrases will just pop into my head and I'll think, oh, that's a perfect way to connect this idea to that idea. Or that's a way, oh, now I understand the order in which I need to relate this. Or, oh, you know what? That anecdote that somebody told me that I totally forgot about, that's actually the lead of the story. Like, I tried to make it work. Anyway, so what I'm doing is I'm realizing these things. And then I need to get those ideas to myself some way. So what I usually do is I either email them to myself, could just be a sentence, or I use, because I have an iPhone and a MacBook, so I'm within that ecosystem, I use this the Reminders app, which syncs on both, and so I'll just pull up the Reminders app on my phone, and I'll just jot something down, and then it'll be there on my computer. And I almost never actually use these things verbatim. Like, phrases that I come up with, they almost never make it into the actual final product. But what it does is it gives me more puzzle pieces to play with, and it gives me a better sense of where these ideas that I have that feel not connected can connect. So what's the bottom line there? Write when you are not writing. Do not think of the writing time as just the time that you have set aside to sit down at your computer. Always be working on this. Always be thinking. Always be developing. And then just gather that raw material so that when you're sitting down the next time, you've got more to work with and you can see it a little clearer. Okay, on to number two, which is create uninterrupted time. Let me tell you this crazy visual metaphor that I have come up with for my own process. And I came to this after being like after the millionth time in which I would become completely disoriented if somebody interrupted me in the middle of writing. And I was like, what is happening to me? And then I came up with it. So, okay, I imagine that when I am sitting down to work on something, it is almost as if my brain is a filing cabinet and I have opened the filing cabinet and I've taken all of the files out of the filing cabinet and I've spread them out on a table. And the reason that I'm doing this is because to write a piece and to be pulling together lots of information, right? Lots of different ideas. People have told me different things. Maybe I've interviewed five different people for a story and I have a whole bunch of different facts. I need to have all of that available in my head at the same time so that I can start to find the connections. You know, it's almost like when you're putting together a puzzle, you're looking at all the pieces and you're like, oh, that goes there. And then that one goes there, that goes there. And I need to do that with information. So that's how I know that I can go from this person saying this thing. And I was like, oh, you know what? This person saying this thing is actually a perfect tee up to this idea. And then I can bring that other person in afterward. I need to have that. And so I spend the first bit of time when I'm working on something, taking the files out of my head and putting them out and reviewing. So I'll read through notes that I took. I will review transcripts of interviews. I'll just kind of have it there. And the big problem for me is that if I'm doing this and somebody interrupts me, if somebody comes in and asks me a question, it would happen at the office, which is why I would always keep my door closed. At home, it happens all the time because of the kids. It feels like every piece of paper that I had spread out of my head and put on the table all just like got shoved back in the filing cabinet, and right, like I could just feel it. I could feel like I've like lost everything. Like I had it and then it all just went away. And it is so disorienting. And then I have to take it all out again. And I hate that. And it's truly the worst part of writing to me is losing that flow. So I need to create uninterrupted time. I will only work on projects that require a lot of my concentration when I know that there's enough time to at least go through part of that cycle. I will think of projects in phases. So for example, an 8,000 word podcast script might be six different phases, right? Like I know I've got the intro and then I've got I'm going to get this person and their point and I'm going to move on to the next one. And similarly, like a magazine story is usually in a couple sections, three, four, five sections. And so I'll think, can I at least have the time to pull everything out of my brain and do one of these sections. Just do one arc, one start to finish, because there are going to be lots of different starts to finishes in each of these pieces. And if I can't do that, if there is not the time for that, if I know I'm going to get interrupted, then I don't work on that project. I do something else. I find something that I can, all these tasks that I can hit quickly, or writing projects that just don't take a lot of thought. I'll give you an example. Right now, I'm recording this on a Monday, just as we are closing our July-August issue. So there are a lot of proofs that I've got to read. And those, you know, that's editing that doesn't take a lot of concentration. I've already read these pieces. I've just got to read through them one more time, offer any comments. So that's something that I will do if the kids are around, because I know I could probably get through each proof. It'll take 5 to 10 minutes. If I get interrupted, it's not that hard to get back into that workflow. But doing something that requires a lot of concentration, I will only do it if I can create uninterrupted time, even if it's an hour. If I know I have an hour, or at night, I'll do it after the kids go to bed. Also, these days, a lot of friends of mine who are writers who have kids at home, they are getting up exceptionally early, like 4:30 a.m. before the kids do, so that they can have that uninterrupted time. So I would say create that uninterrupted time. So extremely valuable, because otherwise you are never going to be able to get into the kind of deep work state that you need to focus. And then I have one more tip, and then we're going to get into podcasting. And that is all going to happen after this break. The work you do, it matters, no matter where you do it. And boy, don't we know that work these days is happening wherever it can. That is why WebEx provides simple and reliable video communication tools that allow you and your team to connect and collaborate securely. That way, you can take care of business wherever you are. And that word reliable is important, by the way, especially if you're talking about sensitive business. You cannot afford to have some joker hacker show up in your video conference. You can't afford for it to be even a little insecure. That is why heads of state, governments, schools, hospitals, medical providers, and the most trusted brands all use WebEx. It is the choice for secure video conferencing and collaboration. Oh, but also WebEx does host virtual happy hours and weddings too, because hey, hashtag life on WebEx. If you can imagine it, WebEx will build the bridge to get you there, no matter where you are. All right, we're back. So I have one more writing tip for you, and then we're going to get into podcasting. Here's the writing tip. Get stuff down. Like if you are sitting and you're staring at a screen and you're not writing, you're not doing it right. Get it down, even if it is crap, and it probably will be crap. I very, very often I'll start a story 10 different ways. I'll just keep writing. I'll write it out until I kind of reach a point where like I'm not really sure where this is going, and like maybe it's not right, and then I'll do it again. And I don't delete any of that stuff, so my file ends up having all of these kind of start and stops. And what's so great about this is that I end up discovering that something that I wrote that I thought was going to be the start of my story might actually fit really nicely a third of the way through. Or I'll start writing something and I'll have a lead that I think is good, and then I'll get 200, 300 words into it, and then I'll write something and I'll be like, wait a second, I think that's actually the lead. And then I'll restructure it. What I'm doing is I'm building up all of these pieces, these interlocking parts that I can use. It's just so, you know, I had said earlier that writing feels like it's like being on an assembly line. And that's in part because what you have is you have a lot of information, you have a lot of ideas, and your job as a writer is to present them in the most coherent, nicely flowing way possible. You want A to lead to B, to lead to C, to lead to D. But the problem is that before you've started writing, you don't know what A, B, C, and D is. So you have to just start getting it out there. Really force yourself to just get into a flow and just write. If you don't think that an idea is good, that's fine. Just work it out. See how far you can get with it. I find that I know when a piece is going well, when I can understand how this thing that I just wrote is going to lead into this next thing that I'm going to write. And then, you know, that it flows naturally. And if it doesn't, if I'm just hitting a wall, if I've written something and it doesn't feel like it's transitioning into the next point, doesn't feel like it's teeing it up, then it's probably wrong. That's okay. Just go to the top of the document, hit enter, goes down, start again, keep all that stuff, and you are building all the raw material that you may ultimately need. All right, so there are the tips that I have for writing. Now, podcasting. If you are interested in podcasting, if you are a podcaster, well, you know this is happening at home now. And so how do you podcast and get good quality stuff while you are at home? It's a good question. And why don't we start with this reveal? Why am I staring at a pillow? Here's why I am staring at a pillow. Because when you record, you want to make sure that your audio quality is as good as possible. And if you are not in a controllable environment like a studio, then the number one thing you need to be concerned about is if that audio of yours, which is to say the noises coming out of your mouth, are going to be bouncing around on walls and coming back into the microphone. You don't want to be sitting in an echoey room. Now, let me describe the setting that I speak to you from right now. I'm in a bedroom. And the reason I'm in a bedroom is because this bedroom has carpet and it's got other soft material. It's got a bed, it's got a chair, like nice fluffy chair. But I am actually sitting at a desk, and I wanted to make sure that my voice isn't going to bounce off of the desk and off of the walls that the desk's up against. So I have at this desk right now, I have my laptop where GarageBand is open. That's what I'm using to kind of capture the audio. I'm speaking into this great little microphone that I have called a Samson, S-A-M-S-O-N, Q2U that I bought off of Amazon. It's super affordable. It's got great sound for being a little mic. It plugs right into your computer because it's got a USB plug. And it also comes with a nice little microphone stand. So that's what I'm using. And then behind the microphone, which is to say that the thing that I am facing right now as I am speaking to you, is a pillow that I just took from the bed and I put it back there. And that's helping to absorb some of this sound. If you wanted to go really crazy, what you could do is you could get a blanket and drape the entire blanket over you so that you're in like a little blanket for it, and then record there, because then there is no audio bounce. The audio is fantastic in the blanket for it. Problem with the blanket for it, of course, is that it is exceptionally hot in a blanket for it. So I have given up on the blanket for it. It's just a little too much. But that is a... I knew I'd lose. All right, one other tip. So if you've listened to this show, you may have heard two different kinds of remote interviews. One is where the person who I'm talking to sounds a little grainy, a little digitally-ish, whatever. You know, it just sounds like they came through Zoom or Skype or something. And then you may have heard interviews that I've done or heard audio of other people, and it sounds really crisp. And maybe you wonder, if you are obsessed with audio like I have become, how is that happening? How did I do that? Well, if you are going to be interviewing somebody remotely and you want to have really good, clean audio, you can walk them through a process that sounds ridiculous, but actually is very simple and works very well. So here's what it is. I actually just did it this morning while interviewing somebody. So I connected by Skype. And the reason I connected by Skype is because I can record the conversation on Skype. So that's always good, but that should be the backup. While we are talking on Skype, like at the very beginning of the conversation, I say, okay, you're on Skype. That means you're talking to me through your computer, right? And the person says, yes. I say, okay, do you have your smartphone near you? And they say, oh, yeah. Like, great. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to open the Voice Memo app. I mean, Voice Memo is what it's called on the iPhone, but every phone has some kind of Voice Memo-like app. And then hit record and hold the phone about 2 inches below your mouth as if it is a microphone. You know, like imagine that you're talking to me and this is a microphone. And then just do that the entire conversation and then send it to me. And hello, what's up? Dinner's ready in 10 minutes? Okay, thanks. You know what? I'm keeping that in here. My son, 5-year-old son, fully naked, just walked in here to say the dinner's ready in 10 minutes. So we're going to have to wrap this episode up. So anyway, that's what you tell the person who you're interviewing, right? Take the phone out, record yourself on that. And what you're getting there is a very clean local recording, a recording from in front of their face, which is infinitely better than something that you would get recorded through the computer. So now, while they're doing that, here's what you, the podcaster, are doing. You are going to, I mean, you're connected by Skype or some other means. You could use Zencastr, and you're recording that, but that think of it as a backup. At the same time, you're also open up GarageBand or some other cheap or free recording software, have that microphone, plug it into the computer and hit record and make sure that you are wearing earphones or earbuds or something. And that way you, hi again, I'm still recording, but I know dinner's soon. Well, at least now he's wearing underwear. All right. The point is that you are creating a local recording of yourself as well. So now what you're going to have is two great recordings, recording that you have produced with your microphone going into your computer, nice, clean, local recording. And then the person you're interviewing has created a local recording using their phone. And by the way, if I haven't said this already, both of you should be wearing earphones so that you're not hearing the other person through the other person's recording, if you follow. In other words, like, you know, when you're talking to that person, if they're not wearing earphones, if it's just like coming out of their computer, then it's going to get picked up on their local recording. That's going to be annoying. So everyone should be wearing earphones and everyone should be locally recording themselves. And then just have them mail you that file, email you the file of them that they talked on the Voice Memo app. And once you get that, you just layer it in GarageBand. So you have track one is your local recording. Track two is their local recording. It'll take you like 2 minutes to figure out how the two sync up. You just move the audio around until you get a nice, clean, hello, hello, how you doing? I'm doing well, right? Like you just hear the two sides of it and then you put it together. And then you've got a brilliant, very clean, very nice recording. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be so much better than if you did it through VoIP. And so that is how you can create a sense of togetherness while also being distant. Make sure to review that you are working in a room with a bunch of soft surfaces so that your audio sounds nice and clean. And then if you're talking to somebody, get them to record themselves and then sync it up. And it really only takes a few minutes. Okay, I apparently have to go to dinner before my son bursts in here for a third time. But I want to say something. Thank you. Thank you for however many episodes of Problem Solvers you have listened to. It is a crazy thing to have produced 150 of these, but it would not be pleasant at all to do it to deaf ears. But instead, what I know I am reaching every time that I make one of these is the ears of smart, ambitious, engaged people who are out there building and doing and creating. And I am honored to be whatever small part of your day my show is. So that's what I've got. Happy 150 episodes to me. Happy writing and maybe podcasting to you. And I will see you next week. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeiffer.com, JasonFeiffer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.